Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, a nice win last night against the Toronto Raptors. And the Bucks with another clutch victory. The best team, best win percentage in those clutch games in the league this season. We talked about it a little bit last night. The big takeaway is that this is a veteran group that has been through a lot of those games, because nothing really stands out for good in those games. They're not elite defensively. They haven't had one of the best offenses in the league. They just know how to win those games and make those winning plays down the stretch. A team that 2 years removed from an NBA championship, and as we made the point too, I think the big thing is it's not only a veteran team, but that team has been in those games together. It's Jay Crowder filling in there, Joe Ingles, but Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton. That's the entire core, Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis, that went through that championship run. Giannis and Chris and Brooke have been in every playoff game or every series since Bud arrived. So this is a group that has done it together, and I think that's the big takeaway for the Bucks' success in these close games. But that win last night was big because you have two teams behind you that aren't showing many signs of slowing down, in the 76ers and the Boston Celtics. Boston did just lose, as we say that, to the Utah Jazz, a place the Bucks will be in less than a week. So Boston sits at 49-23. The Sixers have won 8 in a row, but that is being tested tonight. They're 48-22. You're 2.5 games up on both of those teams, but more importantly, 3 games separating the Bucks and the Celtics in the loss column, 2 separate the Bucks and the Sixers, but that could change tonight. We'll keep you up to date on those scores. Sixers playing the Chicago Bulls, first of 2, as they have a home game against the Bulls tonight, a road game against the Bulls in just a couple of nights on Wednesday. But the schedule for the 76ers is important to point out here, because things start to change very rapidly. So Boston getting that loss was important because their schedule starts to balance out. Now tomorrow, they finally wrap up this 6-game road trip, but it's in Sacramento against a Kings team that has been maybe the best team in the West since January. They're 43-27. The Denver Nuggets finally started to win some games again. So it's 3 games in the loss column separating the Kings and the Nuggets for the 1 seed in the West. For a while, it seemed as though that was out of reach. It's still mathematically a probability that the Nuggets are going to clinch that, but it's gotten closer than many of us anticipated, and that's who the Boston Celtics have tomorrow. When you're struggling on the road in Sacramento is not really the place you want to be. So the fact that Boston already picked up that loss, and we're talking about 3 games in the loss column, and the Bucks were able to win last night, is big, because after this game tomorrow in Sacramento, and let's say the Celtics lose that game, so we're talking about 4 in the loss column separating those two teams, you look at how things start to shift for both the Celtics and the Sixers. So Tuesday night is when you have the Celtics and the Kings. Wednesday, the Celtics are off. Sixers have their second of a 2-game set with the Chicago Bulls. That is a road game. Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs to wrap up their homestand. Both the Bucks and the Sixers are off on Thursday. So are the Boston Celtics. All 3 teams play on Friday, but the Celtics get the Indiana Pacers. The Bucks begin another 4-game road trip in Utah against the Jazz. And that gauntlet begins Friday night for the Sixers. They are in San Francisco to take on the Warriors. Celtics are off Saturday. Bucks have a back-to-back in Denver against the Nuggets. And the Sixers on Saturday have a back-to-back in Phoenix against the Suns. So you look at the upcoming stretch here. This is 1 of 2 against the Bulls. Then you have the back-to-back games we just mentioned against the Warriors on the road, the Suns on the road. A couple of days later, they have the Denver Nuggets on the road, And it all leads into the final week of the regular season, full week, where the Sixers do return home, but they got the Dallas Mavericks. Then they host the Toronto Raptors. And then just a couple of days after that is the big matchup with the Milwaukee Bucks. So a lot of, and oh, by the way, 2 days removed from that, the Sixers play the Boston Celtics. So for the Bucks and the Celtics, schedule still has a few challenges, but it calms down quite a bit. For the Sixers, they're in the midst of a very, very difficult stretch. And again, this is a team that had, entering the second half of the season, the most difficult remaining schedule in the league. But an 8-game win streak so far, just out of the All-Star break, they have more than held their own in that difficult stretch. We'll take a closer look at some of these numbers for Philadelphia and for the Bucks, because these have clearly been the two best teams in the league for the last few months now. For the Bucks, as much attention as we put on the return of Chris Middleton, that's when things really turned around. But the Bucks' struggles were in December when the injuries were starting to mount up, when they had an overwhelming number of road games, and they had a lot of issues with things like turnovers and rebounding. That was when the wheels started to fall off. Really, for all of January, Bucks have been very good. So we're talking about 3 months now that the Bucks have been the best team in the league, and the Bucks and the Sixers have been the two best teams by a wide margin for these last few weeks. So we'll take a look at some of the numbers behind both of those teams' success and keep you up to speed on what is going on in Philadelphia. They're in the final minute of regulation. Bulls and Sixers are tied. Less than a minute remaining, so we'll see if that 8-game win streak comes to an end for the Philadelphia 76ers. But after this, we go courtside, and time to hand things over to Gale Klappa. You will hear his conversation this week with the newest member of the Bucks, Jay Crowder. The conversation between Gale Klappa and Jay Crowder comes your way after this on Bucks Weekly. All right, it is now headed to overtime in Philadelphia between the Sixers and the Bulls. 91 apiece, so the Sixers, 8-game win streak, still alive, but a very low-scoring game. And look, this is one of the other big surprises we've seen in the second half. Mention how good the Bucks and the Sixers have been for the last couple of months, really. When we look at the numbers there, the other thing that jumps out is how good this Chicago Bulls defense has been the last month or so, and that's certainly evident tonight. So 91-91 in the most important game as it pertains to Bucks fans on the schedule this evening. They're headed to overtime. We will keep you up to date on that score. I thought we'd have a final that we could get out of the way here, but nonetheless, they're headed to overtime. So we'll step aside one more time when we come back. You'll hear the conversation between Gale Klappa and the newest member of the Bucks, Jay Crowder, as we go courtside on Bucks Weekly after this.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well, Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team, from on the court to off.
You never know, you might not have that many years left, so the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this, I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You can feel it in the air, the intensity building. The Bucks, with the best record in the NBA, striving to lock down the number one seed in the East. And the team has loaded up for the stretch drive and beyond, adding veteran talent and playoff experience to the roster. Perhaps the biggest move was signing a player who Wisconsin fans know well. A star at Marquette, he blossomed as a pro. Big body, can shoot threes, dogged on defense. Our guest tonight is newly acquired power forward, Jay Crowder. Jay, welcome back to Milwaukee, and welcome to Courtside.
Thanks, Mr. Gill. Thanks for having me.
Well, Jay, you're more than welcome. Let's dive right in. You know, as you know, it's been rumored for months that the Bucks wanted to bring you back to Milwaukee, And then, goodness, at the trade deadline, you were sent to Brooklyn. The Bucks had to work a deal with an entirely different team. Just curious, Jay, what were those days like for you?
Those days were a little nerve-wracking, I can't admit. But at the same time, I knew my end goal. I wanted to be a Buck this year. I really wanted to play. I had already met with John and Milton Newton. So I just really wanted to get this thing done. And we got a curveball there late where I got sent to Brooklyn. But we were still able to get everything done and squared away with Brooklyn. And I'm glad to be where I am today.
And Jay, until you arrived in Milwaukee, you hadn't played at all this season. How did you stay fit and in basketball shape? What were you doing to keep in rhythm?
Well, I kept training with me 24/7. I had my trainer with me 24/7, and I kept a masseuse with me. So those two people were critical in my approach to just training and trying to take care of my body and put my body in through a lot of different vigorous workouts. But I just tried to give myself one or two workouts per day. Most days it was two, but I listened to my body and I took some days with one. I just tried to train as much and hard as possible because I knew there's nothing that can prepare me more than just playing. So, but I was in an unfamiliar territory, so I just tried to put my head down and just really hone in on getting a routine of just working hard, making one or two days, whatever needs to be done that day. And I just tried to put my body through the most extremist workouts that I could, honestly, to get me as ready as possible when that phone call happens.
And General Manager John Horst, who's been multiple times a guest here on Courtside, mentioned that when he visited you for a workout, he thought you had done extremely well in staying in shape. Mm-hmm. And I believe you were working out in Atlanta. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's very correct, at Georgia Tech University.
And Jay, during the All-Star break, understand that you hooked up for some one-on-one with an old nemesis, Bobby Portis, who you battled on the court over the years. How did that bonding go?
That was very well. Just for us to share that moment of just working hard and sharing the gym with one another, which we had never done up until that point. So for him being my new teammate and just helping me get acclimated with the system and me bouncing questions off of him and what his experience with the team, it was great for me, my transition moving forward, getting comfortable with the guys and being able to just share the court with him and just work out hard. And he was coming back from an injury at the time. So he was getting his body where it needs to be. So just to put that time and work in with my new teammate was very critical in my transition of being a Buck. So I really commend him for taking the time. And I don't know, I had one conversation leading up to that point about where I was going to train at, and he was all aboard about it. So I really commend him for his professionalism and helping a new teammate get acclimated as soon as possible. And I'm very thankful for that.
Jay, from a distance, it seems like you and Bobby Portis are cut out of the same mold. A little bit fiery, really determined. How do you compare yourself in terms of your skill set and your approach on the court with Bobby?
We have similar skill sets, but I think our approach mentally is the exact same. We try to impose our will on our opponents, and I think I know our personalities on the court clashed in a great way. I was just two competitors, high-level competitors, who was trying to impose their will on their opponent. All our run-ins that we had on the court was all due to just playing hard and competing, knowing the guy across from me is not going to take any crap from no one. So I had the utmost respect for Bobby leading up to being his teammate. He definitely brought the best out of me, brought my competitive juices to a level that I had to meet here. So I respect what he brings to the game of basketball, and I'm very glad to be his teammate and feed off that energy and let him feed off my energy as well. So our relationship is definitely growing day by day.
And Jay, I'm sure you've set some personal goals to help the Bucks win another championship. Tell our listeners, if you will, about how you'll measure your personal success as we wrap up the season and head into the playoffs.
Well, I want to be available. Obviously, I'm not playing right now. I'm dealing with a little bit minor injury. But at the same time, I have a goal just to get us to playing the best basketball that we can leading up into the playoffs. I think that's the most important thing behind health, getting healthy, and getting my body where it needs to be to compete in the playoffs. And that's what I'm doing these days, is just trying to continue to get my body where it needs to be to hold up on a deep playoff run. And I think my main goal is, like I said, to stay healthy, but my leadership is have my leadership where it needs to be leading up to the playoffs. And that's being able to lead on and off the court and be an example of having a level head of the approach that needs to be taking place going into the playoffs. And I think my leadership will be where it needs to be leading up to the playoffs for me and my teammates to perform at a high level. So that's what I'm looking forward to most.
The other day, Jay, I thought you had a great phrase. You talked about your participation on the team. You talked about, I think you mentioned chopping wood and carrying water.
Yes, sir. That approach, I brought that to the team because I was so grateful. I'm always having that approach to any team. But my first time meeting the guys, I told them that that's what I'm here to do, chop wood and carry water. And I'm here to do it at a high level, and I'm here to do it together with my teammates. So I think that phrase took off because the guys loved it. The guys like it and joked about it still to this day. But I think that's just my approach. I just let those guys know my approach, let my teammates know my approach leading up to it, and how grateful I was to be sharing the locker room with those guys. And that's my motto, chop wood and carry water.
That's terrific, Jay. And you mentioned the minor injury that you're working your way through right now. I understand it's left calf soreness. When did you start to have that soreness, and how far along are you getting back on the court?
I started to feel it our last road trip, the West Coast road trip we just had. I started to feel it like the Sacramento game. And, of course, that was a back-to-back with the Phoenix game. And I think after the Phoenix game, I was able to just really sit back and feel like I'm not where I need to be with that leg or my calf. So I brought it to the team. We were obviously get some pictures on it. But we felt like a week of rest was going to be a good enough time. Obviously, if I have – I hope I don't have any setbacks leading up to it, but these past 48 hours has been great to just really not stay off my feet as much, but stay off my feet on the court, but continue to get my body and this calf strong to where it's not a problem. So that's been my main focus leading up to it, but just getting the rest I need, but at the same time, getting this work and getting the body where it needs to be to approach the ending of the season. So, but I feel like I'm a few games away. I'm fighting the medical staff a little bit. They want to hold me out longer than I want to because I have some catching up to do with getting acclimated even more with my teammates. But I'm finding the balance with it all, and I'm trying to get my mind and my body the proper rest it needs.
More with Jay Crowder in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gail and former Marquette star and current back Jay Crowder.
Jay, in your years in the NBA, you've played against Giannis many times. But now that you've seen him operate up close and personal, how would you describe his skills? And what player from today or yesterday would you compare Giannis to in your mind?
Well, first of all, his skill level is something that's unique. Obviously, he's one of one, I feel like, with his stature and his ability to put the ball on the floor and attack the rim. But the one thing I told Giannis that he's grown in the aspect of playing against him and now being his teammate is his mental sharpness, how he's thinking the game and not just using his physical attributes, just obviously really thinking the game. I think I told him the time that we played against each other in a bubble and we were able to defeat the Bucks. I feel like mentally, when that left him, when I felt like he was not cooked mentally, physically, he's nothing he can do on the court at that time to beat a team. But I think he sharpened that. And I told him that, like, your mental approach and your mental of how you're thinking the game is like grown tremendously. And it's like, no wonder you put us out and got the ring. When you did, because you grew in that aspect. I feel like he's always been the guy who can attack the paint and dominate that area. But mentally, you know, like in the playoffs, your mental is key. It's very, if you to be a strong mentally strong person in the playoffs, you're gonna flourish, I feel. And I think he worked on that and he was able to succeed and figure that part out. And I think you can ask any great player like LeBron James, Michael Jordan, mentally the game is at a high level, especially in the playoffs. So I think that's what he's grown in. I think a player that he dominates the paint like a Shaquille O'Neal, like a guy who demands a double team. He demands extra attention. He's probably the number one scorer with points in the paint in our league today. He just dominates that area. He does it at a high level. And now he's doing it with a intelligence and with a mental stamina about himself that it's hard to defeat.
Of course, another star player for the Bucks, Brook Lopez, clearly having a phenomenal season, Jay.
Yes, sir.
He should be, at least in a lot of people's views, a shoe-in for Defensive Player of the Year. Your thoughts, Jay, about what so. Brook means to the success of the Bucks?
Yes, yeah. I think, Mr. Jay, I think he is the heart and soul of our communication of this team. He does a great job on both ends communicating. And I think with him, being back there defending the paint at a high level that he does has put him at the front runner of league Defensive Player of the Year. And my just looking at the game leading up to even being his teammate, I thought so. So he does a great job of his communication is high level, and it makes our defense go. And that's one thing I continue to tell him is just continue to communicate at a high level, and we can be the best team in the league on the defensive end for sure. And I feel like the stats are proving itself right now. We're trending upward in that area. He does a great job of anchoring us. He does a great job of just letting guys know what's behind him, letting guys know that he has our backs, and that just gives life to the next defender. And I think, like I said, it's no coincidence that he's the number one shot blocker in the league, rim protector. He should be the league Defensive Player of the Year for sure.
Jay, up and down the Bucks roster since you've arrived, who has surprised you the most since you joined the team?
Who has surprised me? I think Brook, honestly, even though I thought he was the Defensive Player of the Year leading up, but just seeing how much we feed off of his leadership, it puts him at a high level and of a guy who just surprised me. I would say playing with alongside a younger Grayson Allen, and then now seeing Grayson Allen play, I think he surprised me a little bit. Seeing him now a few years later, just how he's just grown as a player and grown into his own, and understanding the game and understanding his role on the team. So I think those two guys are definitely two guys that I see like has grown. I think Jabon Carter as well. He didn't play much with us in Phoenix. But I know he's a hard worker. I know he's a gym rat. And it's great to see him get an opportunity to play, be in a rotation. I think he's shown that he can play at a high level as well. And he surprised me because he was a previous teammate of mine as well.
Well, Jay, you've been fortunate to play in numerous playoff games, but also in two NBA finals, one when you were with the Miami Heat, and then just 2 years mm-hmm. ago with the Phoenix Suns when they played mm-hmm. the Bucks in the championship round. Talk, Jay, about your personal experience, about the atmosphere, the intensity, and what you learned from those high-level games.
Those games, honestly, if I could simulate the regular season and just play all those games, I would, because it's so fun. It's so fun because the competitiveness that's required and that you see, it's just high level. It's just the highest level of basketball one can play. And I just really thrive in it because I enjoy knowing a lot of at stake. I enjoy the intensity of the game. I enjoy the home crowd. I enjoy being on the road because I you just get to feel all the different emotions and embrace it. And that's why I fell in love with the game of basketball, just feeling all the different emotions. And I think playoff basketball, NBA playoff basketball, is the highest level of basketball one can play. So those experiences really just taught me, obviously you want to be healthy, but like I said about the mental, your mental stamina has to be high level when it comes to trying to compete for a championship. And I will continue to say that. I would tell any young player, while you're training your body, train your mind as well, because you're going to get tested. I think that those when you get to be in the finals, you're going to get tested like no other. Stuff is not going to go your way. A call is not going to go your way. You may be down in a series fighting some internal stuff. You may be up in a series fighting some internal stuff. So I think your mental stamina is like the number one thing that I preach to my teammates. And because physically, I think we put in the work in each and every day leading up to that, where you're going to be physically ready. Everyone's going to be a little knick-knack, bumped up, bruised up, a little hurt. But mentally, I think the sharper the team is, the higher your chances of becoming the champion is. And that's one thing that I look forward to. I look forward to just seeing where we are as a team mentally. And obviously physically, we're going to be ready, hopefully, with bare injuries. But I just think I take high level of basketball come playoff time is what you live for as a player. And I honestly feel like each player loves it. You embrace yourself. You embrace the moment, and you live in the moment, and you see where you land.
Terrific. And we'll have more with Jay Crowder right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now back to Gale with current Buck and former Marquette star Jay Crowder.
Jay, I'm sure you're finding that Milwaukee has grown a lot. Bit different place than when you played for Marquette a little more than a decade ago. Tell us your impression of the progress of the city now that you're back in Dream City, Milwaukee.
Well, yeah, it definitely has grown since I've been away for 11 years now. But the one thing that sticks out is obviously our new arena, and that whole district is great for our fans, great interaction for our fans. And I think that's unbelievable to just see how that has grown. I remember the Bradley Center. I remember playing in the Bradley Center. But seeing the Fire Forum in their district is great. It feels great to be a Buck and be a part of that and have the fans engage in that. I think that's great for our fans moving forward as well.
Jay, a fact that people are beginning to recognize as you step on the court, you wear number 99, and yes, looking back, I believe very few players in the history of the game have worn 99. Tell us how that evolved and why you've chosen 99.
Yes, sir. Well, I got traded for a player called Rajon Rondo, who I felt like was one of the Boston great players. And out of respect, I was number 9 in Dallas when I got traded to Boston. And I didn't want to get his number. He was number 9 as well. Yeah, he had been a champion for Boston. And out of respect, I didn't want to wear the number getting traded for him. I just didn't want to wear the number because I respected him and what he brought to the city of Boston. So my best friend at the time played college football, and he was a defensive tackle. He wore number 99. So I decided to do the same thing as my best friend and wear number 99 from that point on. And that's how number 99 came about.
And you have a body like a linebacker, so I guess defensive tackle 99 would work well.
I guess so.
Oh, gosh. Well, Jay, Bucks fans, of course, are hungry for another championship. What two or three keys should we watch for as the team wraps up the regular season and then gets deep into the playoffs? What two or three keys do you think are most important?
I think, first of all, we have, 12, 13, somewhere in that area, games left. And I feel like it's easy for us to be, since we already clinched, to overlook games and not finish the regular season in the right fashion. I think that's the hardest thing for a team who's taking care of business leading up to this point. So the number one thing I would say is continue to work on us to not get caught up in the opponent that we're playing or the time of the year that we're playing them. Just continue to work on fine-tuning the things that we need and we're going to need to advance in the playoffs, and that's taking each game leading up to that point serious, taking care of our bodies, making sure we're healthy, and still like finish the race. I think the regular season is a race in itself, and we have to finish it the right way. And I think leading up to the playoffs, come playoff time, I think we have to continue to trust one another on both ends of the court, have each other's back. When things get tough, continue to be there for your teammate, continue to be there for one another and fight for one another and for the main goal. And I think if we're clicking on all cylinders with health, it's no reason for us not to continue to move forward and be the best team and be the last team standing. We just have to go out there and continue to work hard and do it at a high level and do it together. And I think we'll be fine.
Jay, glad to have you back in Milwaukee. Appreciate your time with us today. Really enjoyed visiting with you. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, it has literally just gone final. We thought this was going to happen a lot earlier in the hour, but it took two overtimes in Philadelphia. And we have some good news for the Bucks. The Chicago Bulls end the Sixers' win streak. A 109-105 double overtime win. And the Bulls still very much fighting for their play-in tournament lives. But more importantly, that win means the 76ers and Boston Celtics are both three games back of the Bucks in the loss column. And we mentioned the chances, the odds, for the Bucks to clinch that one seed were 77%. After the win last night, 77% according to playoffstatus.com. They still have the Celtics with better chances, better odds of getting the two seed than the Sixers. A lot of that has to do with what we talked about at the beginning of the hour in that schedule and how it shifts coming up this coming weekend for Philadelphia. But the Bucks last night, as of last night, I should say, with a 77% odds, chances to get the one seed. Now, if you go by the 538, which, by the way, was the source last year that was in on the Celtics earlier than anyone else, the 538 model right now has the Bucks winning 58 games and winning the Eastern Conference by two games over the Boston Celtics. So they have the Bucks going 58-24. The Celtics 56-26, the Sixers 55-27, and the Cavaliers winning 51 games as your four seed. The Knicks, the five seed at 48, and they have the Miami Heat getting the six seed at 44 wins. So we're starting to see more and more numbers on the Bucks' side here. They have clinched a playoff spot. The Nuggets have clinched a playoff spot. The Boston Celtics have clinched a playoff spot. The Sixers, I believe, could have done it tonight with a victory. The other thing is 538 has the Bucks with a 31% chance of making the NBA Finals. That is the best of any team in the NBA. We mentioned they have the Celtics winning more games and finishing second in the Eastern Conference. They have the 76ers with a greater chance of reaching the NBA Finals than they do the Boston Celtics. And Philly, not that far back from the Bucks. So the Bucks with a 31% chance of reaching the NBA Finals, according to the 538. The 76ers with a 29% chance. That is the second most in the league. And the Bucks and Sixers also 1-2 in the odds to win the Finals. 20% for the Bucks and 19% for the Philadelphia 76ers. So after this win now, as we mentioned, or after this game, the big takeaway here, the most important part of it, is the Bucks, when they wake up tomorrow, will be three games up in the loss column on both the Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. This one was important because Philly, as we mentioned, the eight-game win streak, they have been very, very impressive. That win streak began in Milwaukee when they ended the Bucks' win streak. And we keep pointing to the most difficult schedule remaining in the league. Well, Philadelphia, in spite of that, just kept winning with the most difficult schedule remaining in the NBA. They went on this run, an eight-game win streak. And now, with 11 games remaining, the 76ers still have, by far, the most difficult remaining schedule in the league. And this is the big reason why we keep saying the math and the numbers are in the Bucks' favor here. Three games in the loss column is big. Philadelphia has a 560 opponent win percentage in their remaining 11 games. That is the highest in the NBA. Only the Utah Jazz are close with a 546 win percentage. The Boston Celtics are also in the top 10 with the ninth most difficult remaining schedule. 10 games left. And their opponent combined win percentage is 512. The Bucks, in case you were wondering, 18th. So right in the middle of things. And their remaining opponents on their schedule have a below 500 winning percentage. The tough games remaining for the Bucks are the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers, March 30th and April 2nd. The Denver Nuggets, which will take place later this week. So we mentioned a four-game road trip coming up for this Bucks team. The first two of those are against Western Conference teams. The Utah Jazz, who just gave you some help beating the Celtics last night. The Utah Jazz, or two nights ago, I should say. The Utah Jazz Friday night. And then the Denver Nuggets, a back-to-back. The Bucks still with a handful of those, three remaining. A back-to-back, night two in Denver on Saturday night. Then the Celtics on the 30th, the 76ers on April 2nd. The other game, most difficult game remaining on the schedule, aside from those three for the Bucks, by the numbers, is the Memphis Grizzlies. But keep in mind, that is the second-to-last game of the season for the Bucks, and we just went through the way the 538 sees it, picking the Bucks to, or projecting the Bucks, I should say, to win 58 games, and the Celtics to win 56. That's your second-to-last game remaining on the season. If you already have a two-game advantage, and if you beat the Boston Celtics, if you beat the 76ers in those two games, that locks it up for you, essentially. And it makes those final two games basically meaningless. You can lose those, and you would have that head-to-head tiebreaker over the Boston Celtics. That Sixers one, a little more important to see them take that loss, because Philadelphia can get the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Bucks. So you want to see Philadelphia pick up some more losses and get a little more separation. You can control that head-to-head with the Celtics. You only play three games against Boston. You split the first two. The game on March 30th will determine who has the head-to-head tiebreaker. With the Sixers, you got four games. You split the first two in Philly, and then you lost that game 2 weeks ago in Milwaukee. So right now, a 2-1 advantage for the 76ers. If they win that game on April 2nd, Philly would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So seeing Philadelphia accrue some more losses between now and that matchup, certainly imperative for the Bucks, and you got that tonight. So your most recent look at the standings now, with 11 games remaining for the Bucks, 10 games remaining for the Celtics, and 11 games remaining for the 76ers. The Bucks are 2.5 up on Boston, 3 up on Philadelphia, but more importantly, 3 up on both those teams in the loss column. And we mentioned the 538 is projecting the Miami Heat to get into the top 6 and out of the play-in tournament. Well, right now, that would mean the Miami Heat would be playing the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round of the playoffs. You would have the Cavaliers and the Knicks. That seems like as close to a sure thing as we have on either side in the East or West as we move towards the playoffs, just 2 weeks away, a little more than 2 weeks away. And as for the Bucks and the Celtics, who right now the only two teams in the East to have punched their ticket to the playoffs, and as of this moment, those would be the top two seeds. You would wait for the play-in tournament. The Chicago Bulls, that win tonight, also big because it starts to add some distance between the Bulls and the Washington Wizards in that play-in tournament. Right now, two games separating the Bulls and the Wizards. The Bulls in 10th, the Wizards in 11th. But your four play-in tournament teams, and this is important for the Bucks, as of this moment, would be the Miami Heat, the Atlanta Hawks, the Toronto Raptors, and the Chicago Bulls. But you could see the Brooklyn Nets drop in there as well. Either way, you know, if you're the Bucks, you're going to be playing probably the lesser of those teams. Maybe that's Atlanta, maybe it's Toronto, maybe it's Chicago for the second consecutive year, but it is certainly trending towards the Bucks clinching that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And the results earlier tonight in Philadelphia, a double overtime win by the Chicago Bulls over the Sixers, helping the Bucks gain some more momentum there. We mentioned the road trip coming up for the Bucks. That is after this homestand wraps up on Wednesday. The Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs, 7 o'clock tip time at Fiserv Forum, and be sure to join us afterwards for Bucks Talk. Talk to you Wednesday night with Bucks Talk.